Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and live is Juju Smith-Schuster's Bicycle. It's the Fourth and Inches show with Jana and the Sherpa. Jana, how about that Ezekiel Elliott? Your Cowboy is looking pretty good right now. My Giants, not so much.
Yeah, I'm sorry about – I mean, well, I'd say I'm sorry, but I'm not. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not that upset about your Giants. But, yeah, it was a nice week last week. I'll take it.
Well, the only reason I'm not upset about Ezekiel Elliott is because I have him on one of the two fantasy teams that I care most about, and I keep hoping to squeeze as much out of that sponge as I can before he gets suspended. So I guess two quick questions for you.
Yeah.
First of all, do you think he's ultimately going to be suspended? And two, if your answer to one is yes, which in that gaggle there of backup running backs in Dallas would you think is worth picking up?
I think he's going to get suspended eventually.
At this rate, we've thought it's happened
four or five times. I just don't know when it'll happen. Out of the bunch, I want to say Darren McFadden seems like he's the leader in the clubhouse now, but, I mean, it's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah, I mean, after this past week, you know, Rod Smith looks like, you know, but then again, when you're in garbage time, it's kind of hard to tell, you know, the pecking order there. That could just be a function of who happened to be on the field at the time when they were, you know, blowing the other team out then, but we'll see. So,
I guess we're going to find out next week.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Well, I think they have another juicy matchup this week, but you know, fortunately for him, he'll be able to play. But why don't you tell us or tell everybody listening how they can get a hold of us?
So we'll be here until 10 o'clock for the full hour, as we are every week. If you have questions, comments, concerns, lineup inquiries, you can find us all over social media throughout the show and all week long. You can find us at fantasyfootballsherpa.com, on Facebook at the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page, on Twitter at the number 4 THN Inches Show, JKIM16, and fantasy_Sherpa. So we've got, as always, an action-packed show for you. We'll take you through all of our picks, predictions, waiver wire pickups, injuries, news and notes. We've got a trade this week, and, of course, daily fantasy picks as well. So we've got all kinds of stuff here for you today, although we do have six teams on a bye this week and a London game, so maybe not the juiciest matchups ever, but there's certainly value to be had. As far as byes this week, we've got the Cardinals, Packers, Jaguars, Rams, Giants, and Titans all on a bye this week. This week and next week are a little tough with byes, but we've got the winning strategies for you, so stick with us. We'll get you there.
Well, fortunately, there weren't too many offensive players of note injured this past week, so that'll make the byes a little bit easier to stomach, but still just about every team that I'm aware of is going to be scrambling to the waiver wire for at least one guy this week.
Yeah, absolutely. You're losing a lot of guys on byes.
Okay. Well, speaking of that, why don't we just dive right in and start with everybody's favorite position, kicker. No, I'm not kidding. The running back. So just in terms of injuries, what struck you this week and byes, who should we be aware of for the running backs?
So your injuries of note probably this week, just Terrence West with his calf injury. He's not going to play. CJ Procise with that ankle injury. And then on a bye, you've got Leonard Fournette, Chris Ivory, TJ Yeldon, Orlean Starkwood, DeMarco Murray, Derrick Henry, Adrian Peterson, Andre Ellington, Todd Gurley, Aaron Jones, and Ty Montgomery. So certainly some holes to fill.
Yeah, the only name I'll add to that list, I forgot to mention suspensions before, and of course I'm referring to Mr. Beast Mode out there in Oakland, who I think is really cool for riding the BART to and from work, but that's just me. But anyway, he's gonna miss the game this week at Buffalo. He probably.
I just really wanted him to not
team.
Just run off the sideline. I wanted him to drive the golf cart off the sideline, just into the pile, really spice things up. But you know, we'll take what we can get.
Video of him driving a golf cart around when he was at Cal, but of course that was a good 10 years ago. But anyway, so. How about waiver wire pickups? Who's near the top of your list for this week?
Well, Wendell Smallwood's back for the Eagles. He's probably owned in about half of your leagues. I mean, if you pick him up, certainly a bye week replacement, I wouldn't go much more than that, just because you just don't know with he and LeGarrette Blount, who's going to get the lion's shares of the carries there. Same thing with Dion Lewis in New England. Matt Forte available in a lot of leagues. He's been dropped over the last few weeks, so if he's out there, certainly pick him up. Like we talked about before, if you're thinking about maybe stashing a guy, Darren McFadden, but Alex Collins, DeAndre Washington in Oakland, obviously Marshawn Lynch isn't going to play this week, and he's certainly going to look better. He's going to get more looks, but a long-term fix, probably not your answer there. And Latavius Murray, if he's still available, and he is in a lot of places, he and Jerick McKinnon still kind of splitting time there. They're saying Latavius Murray is your quote-unquote starter, but they're both seeing significant snaps there. So either one of them are a decent add.
Okay, for Oakland, Jalen Richard is still in the mix there. I mean, I wouldn't have him high up on my list, but he's a bigger back than DeAndre Washington, so we'll see there. But some other names, Rob Kelly, I'm not sure what his injury status is coming into the week. I mean, he's still listed as
They
being
claim
banged
he's
up,
healthy. He's
but
probably not, though.
if he's healthy, or even if he isn't, I think, he's a decent pickup this week. Theo Riddick in Detroit. I love Jamal Charles with Denver, revenge game against the Chiefs this week. Giovanni Bernard, I don't like the matchup this week, but he's there. Eddie Lacy in Seattle, slightly less talented, but better matchup. Samaje Perine with Washington, Thomas Rawls with Seattle, and Dante Foreman with Houston are all 1 week flex option plug-ins if you're really desperate.
There you go. That works.
So how about top 10 list for running backs this week? Who do you like most?
Well, I mean, there's with the buys, I think we're probably going to have the same guys in our top 10, maybe different order. I'd go Le'Veon Bell is probably my number one this week, followed by Ezekiel Elliott, LeSean McCoy, Melvin Gordon, Kareem Hunt, Mark Ingram, Devontae Freeman, Jay Ajayi, and I'd say probably Lamar Miller and Jordan Howard, Christian McCaffrey, and Alvin Kamara are probably just outside my top 10.
Okay, our lists are a little bit different. I had Ezekiel Elliott as my top, Devontae Freeman second, Jordan Howard third, Mark Ingram fourth, LeSean McCoy fifth, Lamar Miller sixth, Le'Veon Bell seven, Kareem Hunt eight, LeGarrette Blount nine, and Latavius Murray or Jerick McKinnon, whichever, 10th there. Interesting
Either
that
or.
we disagree, I guess, on Jay Ajayi, and I guess we'll talk about that game more. But and then there was one other on your list that I didn't have on mine. But anyway, it's difference of opinion. So how about guys that you want to stay away from this week?
Well, I mean, aside from injuries and all that good stuff, obviously there are some teams that are a little concerning, but running back wise, there aren't as many guys this week as there are a lot of weeks, and I think that's partially because of the buys that I really don't want to have any part of. So I mean that's promising at least. When we get to wide receivers, I have a little stronger feelings on them. But
Okay.
as far as running backs that I want to stay away from, if I can ever get this up here.
Otherwise, I can
So
get through mine
I
if you
think there are
want.
some guys this week that have some good value and some that really don't. But Frank Gore, I'm staying away from. Isaiah Crowell, I'm staying away from. Latavius Murray, we talked about before. I like the idea of picking him up if I need him for a bye week. I don't want to start him unless I absolutely have to. And Jonathan Stewart as well. You like Rob Kelly. I'm less high on him. I like Chris Thompson a lot better there. I'll get into that more when we get to our daily fantasy picks. And Lamar Miller, I just don't love, even though the Seahawks defense is kind of a shell of itself before, really, they still haven't been giving up a lot of 100-yard or more to running backs. I think Carlos Hyde's the only one that's done it to them at home in a couple of years. So it's just not his week.
All right. Jay Ajayi, I just don't expect much offense in that Thursday night game. Melvin Gordon, not high on him. Carlos Hyde, Alex Collins, and Buck Allen, again, don't like the matchup there. Amir Abdullah, Bilal Powell, Doug Martin, I agree with you on Ozell Crowell. And I'll throw Duke Johnson onto the list, too, with Frank Gore was the other one on my list. So, yeah, some overlap in our list.
Yeah, a little bit. That's more than usual.
Yeah, scary. Okay, how about injuries, buys for wide receivers? Who's of note there for you?
A little bit longer of a list here. Just wait till we get to quarterbacks. But Golden Tate dealing with a bad shoulder. Emmanuel Sanders has an ankle injury. Stephon Diggs still dealing with that nagging groin injury. Devontae Parker, he's got a bad ankle still. He, of course, is in a Thursday night game, so certainly keep a closer eye on that. It looks like he may not play, but they're going to just wait and see until game time. Willie Snead with a bad hamstring, Jeremy Maclin with a shoulder injury, Mike Wallace with a concussion, Kenny Golladay with a hamstring, and, of course, still no Jordan Matthews with that thumb injury. And then you've got the bye week, so you're missing Allen Hurns, Marquise Lee, Sterling Shepard, Corey Davis, Eric Deckard, Rashard Matthews, Larry Fitzgerald, John Brown, Jerron Brown, J.J. Nelson, Sammy Watkins, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Jordy Nelson, Davante Adams, and Randall Cobb. So,
did you actually take a breath at the end of that list there? That's pretty impressive that you could do that all. You should do the stuff at the end of the car commercials where they read the disclaimers. That's true.
Yeah.
8 years of practice. So, as far as waiver wire.
Oh, and I guess we probably should also note that the Bears traded the Chargers. They gave him a seventh round pick for wide receiver Dontrell Inman. So they're finally admitting that they don't have a lot at wide receiver, and Mitchell Trubisky doesn't have much to throw to.
Yeah, I had Inman on a dynasty team for earlier this season, and then just finally cut him because he just wasn't getting into games. Maybe the ranking on the site that had him higher than I did knew that he was going to get traded midseason, but unfortunately,
and then,
I didn't know that. So
yeah, and then of course we also have the never-ending saga of Martavis Bryant, who's now been demoted to playing with the scout team at practice and looks like he's not going to be playing this week. He says it's quote-unquote because of social media. His bad attitude has nothing to do with it.
No.
Probably stay away from him this week.
I still suspect him in the bike theft, too.
Hey, I don't think we can rule him out. I mean,
no.
We're all happy Juju Smith-Schuster's been reunited with his bike, but it was a tough couple of days.
Yeah. So as far as guys that I would be looking to pick up on the waiver wire this week, wide receiver-wise, Mohamed Sanu, Josh Doctson, Juju Smith-Schuster, Paul Richardson, Robbie Anderson, and his bike, Mike Williams with the Chargers, Ricardo Lewis with the Browns, Jeremy Curley with the Jets, Brandon Coleman with the Saints, Marquise Goodwin with the 49ers, Deontay Thompson with Buffalo, Adam Humphries, Tampa Bay, Travis Benjamin with the Chargers, and Kendall Wright or Dontrell Inman with the Bears. Anybody I missed from your list?
I've got Kenny Stills on my list as well. I don't know if you had him on yours. I didn't think you did, but
I thought he was owned in.
Yeah. I mean, he seems like he's still available in a fair amount of leagues, but with no Devontae Parker the last couple of weeks, and probably not this week the way things are looking, I mean, still looks good. Even with Matt Moore under center, I'd still probably throw him in my lineup for a bye week replacement.
Sounds like you and I disagree on how much of an impact Matt Moore is going to have on their passing game.
What a surprise. You know, I'm way too optimistic about the Dolphins. That never happens.
Well, I don't know about that. Maybe I'm too pessimistic, but I certainly didn't pick them last week, and they beat the Jets, so what do I know? So how about your top 10 receivers for this week?
Antonio Brown is at the top of my list this week. It seems like he's at the top of a lot of lists. AJ Green would be number two for me. Julio Jones, Mike Evans, Michael Thomas in New Orleans, Dez Bryant, Keenan Allen, and DeAndre Hopkins, I think, will still have a pretty nice game against the Seahawks. I also like Brandon Cooks in New England. He seems like he's going to be the guy. Chris Hogan's still good, but further down on my list. Jarvis Landry and Tyreek Hill. Obviously, again, I'm a little higher on Matt Moore's productivity, I think, than you are.
Yeah, it sounds like it. For me, my top 10 this week, Julio Jones is first, Brandon Cooks second, Kelvin Benjamin, whom you didn't mention, third, Mike Evans fourth, Mike Thomas fifth, Keenan Allen sixth, Michael Crabtree seventh, Doug Baldwin eighth, Antonio Brown ninth, and Demaryius Thomas rounding out my top 10 with Tyreek Hill, Amari Cooper, and Dez Bryant just outside my top 10.
Fair enough, fair enough. I think that Cowboys-Redskins game is going to be one of the higher scoring ones this week. It just, me, it's hard
I
to,
totally agree with you.
It's hard to not put Dez Bryant up in my top 10, but definitely some guys I'm staying away from this week. Terrell Pryor, I'm on the fence about, unless you're using him in a flex role, really, it looks good on paper, but just from what we've seen of him this week,
he was
I'd
invisible
rather,
on Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather start Josh Doctson over him, at least for now. I mean, I think his ceiling is higher, but DeSean Jackson, again, really I like him better in deeper leagues. Marvin Jones, T.Y. Hilton, as much as it pains me. I don't love the matchup this week. It just, even on a bye week, I don't know if I want to put him in my lineup. Danny Amendola, Jeremy Maclin, and like we talked about before, Jordan Matthews' thumb injury still makes me very nervous.
Okay, my avoid list this week, I had DeAndre Hopkins at the top of my avoid list, so we obviously disagree on how that Houston-Seattle game is likely to shake out, but much to discuss when we get to the individual games. T.Y. Hilton, totally agree with you there. He's second on my list. Jarvis Landry, Kenny Stills, third and fourth on my list. Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen on my list. Golden Tate and Marvin Jones. Emmanuel Sanders and then Robbie Anderson, even though I recommended picking him up as a waiver wire pick if you're really desperate. I would hopefully not have to start him. So that's my top 10.
All right. I don't have much to disagree with there.
All right. Well, that doesn't make for much fun and excitement, but let's see if we can get it going with
quarterback. We'll get the predictions, I'm sure.
Yeah. So how about quarterbacks? I guess the main injuries of note this past week were Carson Palmer, you know, with his arm, although that wouldn't have affected you this week because he's out on a bye. And then Jay Cutler. I did start Carson Palmer in a DFS last week thinking he had a great matchup, and that hurt. And then Jay Cutler with his ribs, you know, would be the other major injury there. But bye weeks, there's not a lot there really. I mean, I guess for me, Jared Goff and Marcus Mariota would be the main ones, you know, given that Carson Palmer was going to be sidelined anyway. But how about for you?
Yeah, I mean, Blake Bortles and Eli Manning, people are still starting in leagues. Just, I mean, they still have to throw the ball. But yeah, if you're of any week to have a good position on a bye, I guess this is it. Quarterbacks this week. It's certainly going to be tougher to fill some of those running back and wide receiver holes, but quarterback, you should be okay this week.
Okay, off of the waiver wire this week, Josh McCown would probably be the guy that I want, even though I don't really like his matchup so much this week. Jacoby Brissett, again, only if you're desperate. Case Keenum, Matt Moore, and Joe Flacco. And again, you know, hopefully you're not in a position, unless you're in a two-quarterback league, of having to start any of those guys this week.
Yeah, it's not ideal. Certainly not.
No.
Although, obviously, I think Matt Moore's got a little more potential than you do, but you don't want to put your entire fantasy existence on his shoulders, I don't think.
I think I'd rather start C.J. Beathard this week than any of those guys because my – well, we'll
I'm
get
with
to the
you.
game, but I think Philadelphia is likely to blow out San Francisco, and if that's the case, you know, C.J. Beathard probably gets a lot of garbage time yards
Plus, quite
in the
frankly, I
second
don't
half
think he
against
looked
the
bad.
pass defense. No, and the Phillies' pass defense isn't that great. I mean, their run defense is pretty awesome, but pass defense is probably the Achilles heel there, so I think there's definitely – some argument to be made that he might be a better pickup off the waiver wire than any of those guys I just rattled off there. But so
I'm with you there.
Quarterback wise, sounds like we're going to have some differences here. But I'll kick this one off. Matt Ryan is the quarterback I like most this week, followed by Tom Brady. Carson Wentz is third for me. Drew Brees 4, Russell Wilson 5, Cam Newton 6, Jameis Winston 7. Phillip Rivers 8, Kirk Cousins 9, and Ben Roethlisberger 10. And then, and what will probably shock you a little bit, I had Trevor Siemian outside my top 10. I know he's been, you know, up and down, more down this week, but I think that game could be another really high-scoring game, the Monday night game. But let's see who's in your top 10 list for this week.
Okay, mine's a little different. I've got Tom Brady sitting at the top of my list, followed by Drew Brees, Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, Cam Newton, Tyrod Taylor, Matt Ryan, and then Jameis Winston rounding out my top 10. I do not have Trevor Siemian just outside my top 10.
All right, and I actually have Tyrod Taylor on my avoid list, although I seem to be in the minority with that opinion.
I've got Trevor Siemian on mine, so... There we go. Guys,
out.
I'm avoiding this week, as mentioned, Trevor Siemian. I mean, on paper, maybe it looks good. I don't think this is a great matchup for him. I give the Chiefs defense a little more respect than other people do, plus Monday night. This isn't for me. Just not a fan. Matt Stafford and Ben Roethlisberger, both sides of that game, I don't really want any part of at quarterback. And I'm a little worried about Jacoby Brissett in Cincinnati.
Oh, I think that, Jacoby Brissett is definitely not someone I would want to start this week. Actually, at the top of my avoid list this week is Deshaun Watson. I think Houston likely to have some success running the ball against Seattle, but I don't think they're going to have a lot of success passing, and I don't really want to count on Deshaun Watson having to rush for 100 yards to get me the fantasy value I think I need out of the quarterback position. So Deshaun Watson would be on my avoid list. Matthew Stafford, I agree. Josh McCown, Tyrod Taylor, we seem to have a different view on him, so that'll be interesting to discuss. Matt Moore, Joe Flacco, not wild on Case Keenum, even though I recommended him as a waiver wire pickup if you need one this week. Mitch Trubisky, Andy Dalton, and Jacoby Brissett rounds out my 10 quarterbacks I'd be trying to avoid this week.
Yeah. Yeah, I think just from how the picks are going, I think our game picks are going to be pretty different this week.
Well, it always makes for more interesting discussion. How about tight ends? Did I guess Delanie Walker would be the main one who got hurt this past week, although he's on a bye
this week
anyway.
Week, so.
But who else?
Charles Clay's still dealing with that knee injury, so you still need to replace him. And then you've got Evan Engram, aforementioned Delanie Walker, Martellus Bennett, Mercedes Lewis all on byes this week.
Okay, and so who would you be looking at off of the waiver wire to replace those guys?
Tyler Croft would be the first name off the list for me. He had a nice game last week. The Colts are pretty favorable matchup against tight ends, so I like that. Nick O'Leary, I recommend him last week. I still like it, even with only two targets last week. I think it's still a decent matchup, and I like the upside there. Ben Watson, Jack Doyle, and Jared Cook, if they're still available, and Vernon Davis. Even with Jordan Reed still, you know, kind of breaking out a little bit, I think Vernon Davis still has enough value that if you need to stream somebody, I think that this is still a good week.
So Jack Doyle and Tyler Croft were actually 1 and 2 on my list. O.J. Howard with Tampa Bay, Ed Dixon with Carolina, Zach Miller with Chicago, and Jesse James were with Pittsburgh were some other names that caught my eye as guys that are widely available that I wouldn't mind adding if I needed to.
Now, I'm seeing Greg Olsen pop up on a lot of people's lists as far as stashing him since he's starting to think about practicing. He's still a couple weeks away from being eligible to be activated off the IR. But is that something that you do that you're interested in doing and stashing a guy, that a bigger name player like that, or do you want to wait until it gets closer?
If it were earlier in the season or even later in the season and there were still a couple weeks and we weren't dealing with all the buys that we are this week, I'd say if you have the room on your roster, absolutely. Yeah, there's one league I'm in where there's start 8 guys and my bench is 10 or 12 guys. A league like that, maybe, but I just don't see, unless, you know, yeah, I can't see recommending doing that this week given you know, all the
For
buys.
Me,
if I have extra roster spots, I want to spend them on running backs or wide receivers rather than tight ends.
Yeah, and
you?
The fact that things that I agree. I think it's just too soon. And I mean, because you're going to have to sit on him for 4 weeks. I think week 12 is when he's eligible to come back. That's a lot of time. And Carolina seems like they could be on the verge of imploding here. I don't know what to make of what they're doing. So even when he comes back, he might not be the number one option out there. So I'm not ready to pull the trigger on that just yet.
Okay. So how about top 10 lists for this week? Why don't you start us off on that?
I've got Zach Ertz at the top of my list. Obviously, he's been a big factor in Philadelphia, and San Francisco seemed like they were pretty willing to give up points last week, so I'm going to keep riding that train. Rob Gronkowski, Travis Kelce, Cameron Brate, I'm very high on this week. Austin Seferian Jenkins, I'm a broken record. Every week I tell you I think he's a good start, not wavering on that. Jordan Reed, Hunter Henry, Jimmy Graham, Jared Cook, and Kyle Rudolph. I've got Jack Doyle and Jason Witten just outside my top 10.
Hey, I disagree on a couple of those picks, which we can get into more when we go over the list of guys that we think we should avoid. Rob Gronkowski was at the top of my list. Zach Ertz, too. Hunter Henry. Hunter Harvey is a relief pitcher. Hunter Henry would be third on my list. I don't know why I always do that, and usually I catch that and correct it, but not this week. Jimmy Graham, fourth. Jordan Reed, fifth. Travis Kelce, sixth. Austin Hooper. Jason Witten, you were a little skeptical of my listing him last week, and he did score a touchdown. So,
it worked. I was happy to be wrong about that.
Jared Cook and George Kittle round out my top 10 with the two Tampa Bay guys, Cameron Brate and O.J. Howard and Tyler Kroft, just outside my top 10. So how about guys that you want to avoid at tight end this week?
Kobe Fleener against the Bears. He's started strong. Things have kind of taken a dive as things go on, and Chicago's not a favorable matchup against tight ends. Ed Dixon, David Joku, Julius Thomas, Jesse James, O.J. Howard. I know you're higher on him than I am, but I don't think that even after last week, I don't think he's the guy this week. I think you have better options elsewhere, and Zach Miller against New Orleans.
Okay. I agree with you on Zach Miller. I had Kyle Rudolph and Austin Seferian Jenkins on my avoid list this week. Jack Doyle, I would pick him up if I needed a tight end, but frankly, I'd rather have an Austin Hooper or someone like that this week. And David Njoku, I agree with you there. So pretty consistent on our list. So. How about defenses? Why don't I start off with a top 10?
Sure.
I'll go with I had Cincinnati at the top of my list. Actually, all three of my top three teams, are all from the AFC North this week. Cincinnati, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh were my top three. Minnesota, Miami, Atlanta, Indianapolis, Carolina, New Orleans, and Oakland round out my top 10. How about you?
I've got the Eagles at the top of my list, as much as it pains me to say, followed by the Vikings, Kansas City, Carolina, Baltimore, the Steelers, Cincinnati, a little farther down on my list than you had them, Houston and New Orleans.
So, yeah, we seem to see Houston, Kansas City a little differently, but that's what makes the show fun. As far as teams to or defenses to avoid this week, Kansas City is actually at the top of my list, which I know you
Really?
disagree with. San
Yes.
Francisco, Cleveland, the Jets, the Chargers, the Bears, Broncos, Tampa Bay and New England and Seattle round out my top 10 of defenses I'd be looking to avoid this week.
Yeah, I mean, other than the obvious Kansas City, I don't really have too much of an issue with the rest of them.
Seattle, I'm a little surprised you would agree with that. I guess I know you said before that their defense isn't as good as it's been in the past, but is it that you think they're defense just isn't that good, or you like Deshaun Watson and the Houston offense that much?
I'm mostly worried. They've had a lot of their leaders on that defense get hurt, and I just think they need to kind of refine their identity. I don't think they're gonna tank and become a below, second tier in the league defense. I just don't think they're gonna be as good as they were. So I think they're down a step this week. And in another week or two, I think they'll regroup. They'll figure it out. They're plugging new guys in, but I'm a little skeptical here.
Legion of Ouch doesn't have quite the same ring to it.
No, Legion of Ouch does not quite roll off the tongue the same as Legion of Boom. It's just not as scary sounding.
No, it isn't. So, why don't we get on to game predictions then?
Yeah.
All right. So
Let's
first
see
up, we have,
what we've got in store here.
yeah, this should be interesting. So first up, we've got a Thursday night game, which I think will have many people either falling asleep in front of their TVs or changing the channel over to the World Series game. But we've got the Dolphins visiting Baltimore, and I think this is going to be one of the lower scoring Thursday night games in recent history. I think two touchdowns would win it. I'll go with Baltimore just because they're at home. I'll say Baltimore 13, Miami 10.
Taking Miami and Matt Moore to win this 20-16.
Why does that not surprise me?
Real shock there, because if you haven't listened to the first half of the show, you'd have no idea I thought Miami might win this game.
How does
Now,
Baltimore get to
granted,
16? Is that two-point conversions or eight safeties or what? Missed extra
think you
points?
might have two touchdowns and a safety. That's what I'm going
Okay.
with.
Okay.
But I mean, Jay Cutler is not the answer in Miami. I don't necessarily think Matt Moore is going to light the world on fire, but I think he'll be serviceable. I think Baltimore, both the teams are on a shorter week, but Baltimore's got some injury challenges. They've looked a little suspect here. I think that Miami's defense is going to be the difference maker.
Okay, how about the first of the Sunday games, which is an early wake-up game, is the London game. We've got
Yeah.
Minnesota, quote-unquote, at Cleveland, which is really at London. Cleveland, I actually picked them in one pool I'm in to win last week against Tennessee. They came close but didn't get it done. Here, I don't think there's any question that Minnesota is the better team. It's just, which of the teams travel or are less affected by, the travel over to London, which team is less banged up. I think Minnesota is, even with Case Keenum at quarterback, is in much better shape than Cleveland with their revolving door at quarterback. It sounds like DeShone Kizer is going to be the guy again this week, but that probably means Cody Kessler will be quarterbacking by the second quarter. I'll say
Yeah, who
Minnesota
needs
wins this pretty
consistency?
easily.
Why would we want to do
Yeah.
that?
No, that just makes things less fun and less interesting. So,
Exactly.
but I'll go with Minnesota to win this. I'll take them in the ultimate road game. I'll say Minnesota 2014, Cleveland 2024, Cleveland 13. Just combining two scores into one there.
It was an aggressive score.
Yes.
I mean, I can't disagree with any of what you're saying. I don't think it matters who plays quarterback, and I don't even think it'll be the same guy all game long, but I've got Minnesota winning this 24-10. Probably not one you need to drop everything to watch, unfortunately.
Or wake up to watch if you're so inclined.
Yeah, this is kind of a rough slate of games this week. We got a couple that are going to be like high scoring, real shootouts. We've got some that are going to be like a real struggle to score points, and then we got some real mismatches.
I think the first two games and then the Cincy Indy game were just, I don't see many. I think some teams individually are going to score more than, you know, some of these games combined, but we'll see. So next up, we've got the first of the early Sunday afternoon East Coast time games, and that's Atlanta at the Jets. Jets have had a couple of heartbreaking losses the last couple of weeks. This week, I don't think there's going to be anything heartbreaking about this. I think Atlanta, their offense hasn't really hit its rhythm yet, but this week I think they will. I think they stomp the Jets at, you know, on the road. I'll say Atlanta wins this by more than three touchdowns. I'll say Atlanta 38, Jets 14.
Oh, wow. Okay. So we see this one a little differently. I'm also going to agree with you that Atlanta's going to win this game, but I've got them winning 28-21. I think the Jets are going to hang around. Falcons are on the road for the second straight week. They've looked a little pedestrian. I think, yes, they'll bounce back here, but the Jets have been competitive. I think that this Atlanta defense can be exploited a little bit. And, you know, granted, the Atlanta offense has more firepower. That's ultimately going to be the difference in this game. But I think the Jets are going to hang around. I think they're going to put a little scare in them. Take the points.
Okay. Next up, we've got Carolina at Tampa Bay. Two teams going nowhere in a hurry. I think Carolina will regroup this week and win this game on the road. I'll go with a final score of Carolina 24 and Tampa Bay 20. And here's a quick trivia question for you. Who has the number one passing offense in the NFL right now as judged by yards per game?
I believe it's the Buccaneers.
You would be right.
Yeah, and, as scary
James Winston
as that is.
Jameis Winston doesn't really get talked about
very
in the upper echelon of quarterbacks, but he's got a lot of yards so far this season. But how do you see this game?
I'm actually taking Jameis Winston and Tampa Bay to pull a little upset here. I'm taking them 27-21. Neither of these teams looks particularly good. Tampa Bay's defense is a little banged up. Carolina on the road again. Tampa Bay is finally coming home. I think that Tampa Bay just has a little bit more in the tank. I think they're going to be able to pull this one out here.
All right. Now we have New Orleans at Chicago, and this is another
this
game where
mean.
I don't think this is going to be too
like
competitive.
We play this.
I think this will be more competitive than some of the games, but I still think New Orleans, you know, all of a sudden they have a defense and they're able to score on the road and even win on the road. So I'm, you know, going to say that trend continues this week. I know it's second week in a row on the road. You usually don't like to pick teams, not you, but one usually teams playing on the road for the second week in a row generally don't do well. But I'm going to pick New Orleans to win pretty handily here. I'll go with a final score of the Saints 31, Bears 20.
I've got the Saints 27, the Bears 10, so we're pretty in line here. Now, the Bears' defense has won them a couple of games. It's not Mitchell Trubisky, but Drew Brees in this offense is just going to be way too much for them to handle. I don't think, you know, bringing in a new wide receiver midweek is going to be just enough to get over the hump here over New Orleans. I think they might need a little bit more. So this is it's a nice game for fantasy points if you're an owner of a New Orleans player, not so much for a Chicago player this week.
I'm actually going to quibble with that a little bit just because I think Chicago will be able to run the ball against New Orleans, and I think that suggests a pretty big day
for
Jordan Howard. I know we disagreed on the running back rankings. I had him third, and I don't think he was in your top 10, but
I'm not as high on him as you are. I actually traded him today, so I like him, I don't like him that much.
If the game gets out of hand early, which is always the wild card, then my forecast might go down the tubes. But
I mean, even
so
if this game gets out of hand early, I think Jordan Howard's still their best chance to win, even on the ground. I mean, Mitchell Trubisky is not lighting the world on fire.
So who did you get in return for Jordan Howard?
I actually traded him for Ezekiel Elliott.
Wait a minute. Who made that trade with you?
I know.
Somebody who
I
either...
know.
Oh, well, I guess when you factor in the potential for suspension, then
I mean, he's got
but...
a suspension probably coming down the pipeline, but I got a team where I'm starting Le'Veon Bell and Ezekiel Elliott this week, and I'm not mad about it.
So do you think that the suspension is going to happen this season or not?
I think it will. I think it's going to come at some point. I don't think the NFL can afford for it not to. They can't have that Tom Brady situation all over again.
Well, it's not so matter much a matter of what they want versus what the lawyers are able to argue for and against. So we'll see.
Jerry Jones has a lot of lawyers. He's got a lot of friends
team.
That are lawyers. I think we could starve it off for a few more weeks, but I think it's coming this season.
Yeah, I don't know. At this point, if you're a team with Ezekiel Elliott and you're looking pretty good, you probably almost want the suspension to start now so that he's back in time for the fantasy playoffs. But if you're like me and have him on a team that's on the bubble or sort of in that, you know, third or fourth seed range
right now.
You need
him now.
Yeah, you want, you know, I'll take my chances in the playoffs if he can at least get me that far, but we'll see. So anyway, back to the games at hand, and we've got Indianapolis visiting Cincinnati, and I don't think there's much of a question about who should be favored in this game, but to me, Cincinnati just not hitting on all cylinders on offense, and I think they'll win this game, but I just don't see them scoring a ton of points, even against Indiana's putrid defense. I'll go with a final score of Cincinnati 17, Indy 6, and if there's ever a week where Cincinnati's going to get their defense right, it'll be this week, but I'm just not convinced that's going to happen. Sounds like you see the game a little differently.
I've got Cincinnati winning this in a bit of a blowout. I got them 30-14 over the Colts. I think A.J. Green is going to have himself a day. I'm very excited about the prospects for Andy Dalton, the Ginger Ninja, in that offense here. I mean, the Colts are bad. Things were okay to start, and then the last 2 weeks just really, really been tough for them. And the Bengals' defense is better than people think. I don't see a way where Indy can keep this competitive.
So do you think Andrew Luck comes back this season, yes or no?
Yes, absolutely.
I say no. I mean, they're going to be looking at a top, you know, probably a top three draft pick, at the very worst, a top five draft pick if they get lucky and win a game or two. But I just don't see why they would bring him back in week 12 or 13 if there's nothing to play for and he's your
I think
franchise
you
got to
figure out what works and what doesn't on that team before you go into the off season, because obviously they need to make some kind of changes, but without knowing what that team really is going to look like without Andrew Luck playing a couple of games, I don't know if you can accurately assess where your biggest needs are. I think it's just
well,
a different
I mean,
animal
even
to
with,
Jacoby Brissett.
I don't understand why are you still starting Frank Gore when your team is as bad as it is. I mean, he might be your best running back, but, you know, trade him to some team for a low, you know, round draft pick and see what you have with Marlon Mack. And, you know, to me, that's the way, you know, I mean, T.Y. Hilton's not the problem. You know, Andrew Luck, you know, he's going to be your quarterback, so they don't need a quarterback. I mean, they've, you know, to me, they're looking at, I know most teams don't like to pick a running back high in the draft, but to
I
me,
mean, it
if
worked
you're,
out okay with Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, and even Leonard Fournette, but, you know, even if they're anywhere near the top of the draft next season and have the chance to get, you know, Saquon Barkley, I think if you're Indianapolis, you got to do it. I mean, you know, San Francisco, I guess you could argue, you know, also has a potentially a need for him, but, you know, they've got Carlos Hyde already, although I think this is last year of his rookie contract, and they'll probably let him, you know, walk and see what they have with Matt Breida. But, you know, maybe they take a chance on Barkley. But I don't understand, you know, why, you know, they would bring Luck back. But sounds like we disagree on that, too.
I mean, I want to get him some reps. I don't want him to go a whole year without playing. I want to see what this team looks like. I want him to be comfortable in this offense.
If you have him in a redraft league, a one-year league, are you still holding on to him, yes or no?
Yeah, I might.
Okay, I would disagree with you. I think it's time to cut bait and you know, go look for a running back or a wide receiver that might actually make a difference this season. That's my two cents on that. But how about New Orleans, not New Orleans, the Chargers traveling east for a game at the Patriots? I think this will be fairly high scoring, but I think New England still wins it fairly easily. I'll go with the final score of Patriots 34, Chargers 24.
Okay. I've got 30-24, the Patriots winning this. So I've got it a little closer. The Patriots defense is better. That's going to slow the Chargers down. Obviously, coming to the East Coast is never a good thing for a West Coast team, but they've been playing better. They've looked better the last couple weeks. Their defense has stepped up. Playing Tom Brady usually means your defense is going to take a step back, which, you know, we kind of all expect. But I think they'll be able to hang in. I mean, this offense is potent enough, and Phillip Rivers, I think, is a seasoned enough veteran that he's not going to get big time by being in New England and playing Tom Brady. You know, he knows what he's up against, and I think it'll affect him a little less, hopefully, since I have him on some teams, a little less than it would some other quarterbacks.
So do you think New England's defense is proven that they're better because they, you know, kept Atlanta quiet and Matt Ryan quiet last week? Is that more because New England's defense is actually pretty decent, or is that just because, you know, Matt Ryan in Atlanta had a really horrible game?
I mean, I think it's a little bit of both, but I think the defense is better. They've taken some steps forward. They've gotten better, but Matt Ryan certainly did them some favors last week.
Okay, next up we've got Oakland at Buffalo, the Marshawn Lynch-less Oakland Raiders. That had to be one of the wildest endings to a game last week, that Thursday night game, the
Oakland
Kansas City game that I've ever seen. Yeah, but the ending in particular, they had, I think, how many, was it five last plays
four.
Of the game? Or,
four, yeah, it took them four tries to get one playoff.
Yeah, that was bizarre, but anyway, I think Oakland, this game to me is kind of a coin flip, but I'll say that Oakland gets back to .500 this week. I'll say that they win this by a field goal. I'll go with the final score of Oakland 20, the hometown Buffalo Bills 17.
Now, we did disagree on Tyrod Taylor earlier, and I am a big Derek Carr fan. I'm a Raiders apologist occasionally, but I think Buffalo's going to take this. I've got them winning 27-23. I think that LeSean McCoy is the X factor in this game. The Oakland defense is not great. Granted, they had a longer week here. They had 10 days between games. It gives them a little more time to game plan, but Buffalo looks better. They're at home. Oakland's coming out east, and just this defense is their Achilles heel. I'm less worried about them not having Marshawn Lynch, but LeSean McCoy is the X factor here.
Well, I like LeSean McCoy. I actually had him fifth in my running back rankings this week, but I just don't see the rest of that team being able to do anything. I mean, who's their top wide receiver? Who's their tight end right now? I mean, I know the names, but, you know, there's nobody that most people I know have on their fantasy teams at this point. So
I'm okay with that.
As
rough as that
it,
Oakland
but
defense looks, I'm okay with LeSean McCoy being the guy. Tyrod Taylor can run for a couple of first downs. I think they'll be all right.
Next up, we've got Philadelphia at home for the second week in a row, coming off that big win against Washington Monday night, hosting San Francisco, another West Coast team traveling east for a 10 a.m.
Yeah, whoever makes the
California
schedule
time
hates
game.
San Francisco. That's just mean.
Yeah.
Like,
so,
real mean.
Yeah. So they're going to be up against the Eagles. Eagles lost You know, Jason Peters off the offensive line. They lost one of their, you know, best linebackers too, but I still think they have way too much for San Francisco here. I think they'll more than double San Francisco's point total. I go with Philadelphia for a high score of the week. Philadelphia 42, San Francisco 20.
Ooh, I've got them winning 30-13, so still blowout, just not quite as big as yours. Like you said, they had a couple of big injuries. The Eagles, granted, they probably are the best team in the NFC right now, as much as that pains me to say, but there's just San Francisco, unless something catastrophic happens, there's just no way they can be a real factor in this game.
How do you think Dallas matches up with Philadelphia? Because I actually think they would match up pretty well with them. And if Philadelphia has those injuries, you know, they haven't played yet. So Dallas still has a chance to make up a couple games on them. How do you see the two teams now? And with the caveat that I'd rather be the best, the team playing the best at the end of the season than the team playing best in week seven. But again, that's
of course,
my anti-Eagle bias.
I mean, we both have it. I think that's safe
to
say.
How do you compare
Dallas
and Philadelphia?
I agree with you. I think they do. They do match up. They do match up very well. I think. I mean, this may be a little bit of a homer pick, but I think the Cowboys could edge them out. But I think it'd be a real high scoring game.
Okay, we'll find out soon enough.
Yeah.
Houston on the road against Seattle. We talked a little bit about this game. You know, some of our assumptions for individual players. I think Lamar Miller has a big game, but it's not enough because I don't think Deshaun Watson will be able to do much. So I'll go with Seattle here by a field goal. Seattle at home 27, Houston 24.
I actually have the same score, but reversed. I'm going to take Houston to win this game. What a shock from how we were talking before, but it's a big challenge for Deshaun Watson. It's a big challenge for the Texans. That defense has taken some hits. Obviously, they're without J.J. Watt and some other big names there. Even going into Seattle, I think that this game is going to go back and forth the whole way, but I think Houston's going to edge us out, and next week we're going to be talking about how, you know, Houston might be they might be the real deal. This could be a real team here.
Okay, next up we've got the team nearest and dearest to your heart. That would be the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
Also traveling east, although not as far as the California teams. They'll be in Washington to take on the Big Bad Redskins coming off the Monday night loss, but they're at home. This should be a high-scoring game. I agree with you, but I like Dallas's offense a little bit more, especially, you know, on the throwing end of things. You know, there's nobody on Washington that can hold a candle to Dez Bryant, but I'll pick Dallas to win this final score, Cowboys 35, Redskins 31.
I had 34-30, so we're right along the same way. Definitely a high-scoring game. The Redskins on a short week. Cowboys a little banged up. Both teams banged up. That Redskins secondary really, really taking some hits. And the Redskins' offensive line, I think, is the real issue. The Cowboys are going to get after Kirk Cousins, and I think that'll be the difference maker there. It's the Cowboys' defense, I think, that'll keep them in this game. But Kirk Cousins is going to throw forever. He and Chris Thompson, I think, are going to have some real big days against the Cowboys.
Okay, we've got Pittsburgh at Detroit. Detroit looked really good first few weeks of the season. Wheels coming off now. Pittsburgh better at home than they are on the road typically, but I still think that Pittsburgh is just starting to round into form, and my guess would be that they're going to win this in a blowout. I'll say Pittsburgh 31, Detroit 10.
I've got Pittsburgh winning 23-17. I think that the Lions coming off a bye gives them a little more time to prepare for this. The Steelers have some issues going on with Martavis Bryant. You know, some off-the-field things happening. Obviously, the bike theft in Juju Smith-Schuster's life probably really help, you know, weighing them down. But we got a happy resolution there. It's the Steelers' defense. They've really, the last 2 weeks, stepped up and finally looked like the Steelers' defense is supposed to. And that's going to be the difference here. But Detroit, if they were healthier, I think that maybe they could give them a run for their money. But it's going to be a tough road game for him, but Steelers are still going to come out on top.
But Amir Abdullah hasn't done anything of worthwhile fantasy wise this year, and Golden Tate is hurt. So I just think, you know, when your two biggest weapons and Eric Ebron's been, you know, missing in action. So,
yeah.
You know, when three of your biggest so-called, you know, your assumed biggest offensive weapons are not going to be contributing much, if anything, in this game, I just, you know, think that the game won't be quite as close, but we'll see. And finally, wrapping up, we've got a Monday night game that should be one that I think will be pretty high scoring. I seem to have a higher opinion of Denver's offensive potential than you do, so I'm going to pick them in an upset here. I think Kansas City loses for the third week in a row after starting the season 5-0. I think they'll drop to 5-3, courtesy of Denver beating them. Final score 34-28.
Ooh, as a fan, I would love to see that happen, but I just, Kansas City defense, man, even with the Broncos defense being as good as it is, their offensive issues kind of outweigh what's going on. This is a team that just really, you just don't know what you're getting from one week to the next. Something's got to give. I think the Chiefs defense is going to be the one that comes out on top here this week. And the Broncos defense keeps them in games, but if your offense isn't scoring and Trevor Siemian can't move the ball, I don't know how they can win this game. I would love for it to be different, but I think Kansas City's going to win 21-17.
Okay, and we have some time for your DFS recommendations for the week.
Yeah, so obviously what we like to do here is, if this is your first time with us, you've got the big names. You know who to go for. These are going to be more of your kind of under the radar, more of your value picks. As far as stacks go for this week, you've got a couple of good options in Philadelphia, New Orleans, Cincinnati, and Tampa Bay. Obviously, we disagreed on how a couple of those games are going to go, but I think you've got some worthwhile value there. At quarterback, Jameis Winston, we talked about before, very quietly, kind of under the radar, having a very nice statistical season. May not have translated into the wins they needed, but for your value in your daily fantasy league, you really can't go wrong there. Kirk Cousins as well, one of the highest scoring games of the day. And Josh McCown, I think, will still be able to hold his own. If you're looking to save a few bucks, that's probably the one to go with. At running back, Joe Mixon could have himself a real nice day against Indianapolis. We've been waiting for him to kind of break out. I think the price is right. This week's the week to take the risk on him. Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, really depends what you need out of your lineup. Kamara's going to be the better value. Mark Ingram's probably the safer pick. So depending how risky you're feeling or, you know, what your price is right there. Chris Thompson against the Cowboys, I can't say enough about how valuable he is. The price is right there. He's leading the team in receiving yards, receiving touchdowns. He's gotten two more on the ground there as well. So he's going to be a big factor. You might as well milk that before his value goes up. And Matt Forte, again, we saw that game a little differently, but I think he's still going to have some pretty decent value. At wide receiver, DeSean Jackson, I think, may break out this week. Devin Funches, Alshon Jeffrey, and even Nelson Aguilar, again, if you're looking for more of a value pick there. Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Thompson in Buffalo. Someone's got to catch the ball, as you alluded to before. He and Nick O'Leary, a tight end, are probably your best bets there. Mohamed Sanu, also a good pick and good value at wide receiver. And then at tight end, you're looking at Jimmy Graham, Vernon Davis, Tyler Croft, who I can't tell you enough how good he's going to be this week, Jack Doyle and Cameron Brate. And for your defenses, the Steelers and the Eagles are probably your best value. Obviously, if you can afford to get the Eagles over the Steelers, go that route. I think that'll be better for you this week.
Are you on the Nelson Aguilar bandwagon yet?
Nope, probably never going to be. He and Wendell Smallwood, I just never am going to be able to get behind.
Now.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's nice. I just don't like him as a player. Some people you just can't get behind, you know?
Got it.
Yeah, but we will be back next week to argue again about our picks. We'll be back next week on Tuesday. We're coming to you a day early. I got to travel on Wednesday, so we're coming a day early to you. We'll be back for the full hour, so stick with us. If you missed us or any of the episodes, you can find us all week long at fantasyfootballsherpa.com, at the Fantasy Football Sherpa Facebook fan page, as well as on Twitter at the number 4THN Inches Show, JKIM16, and Fantasy_Sherpa. We're here to help lead you to victory, answer all of your lineup questions, and, of course, your waiver wires with six teams being on a bye this week. So thanks so much for listening. Good luck this week, unless, of course, you're playing us.
Go Redskins.